Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 26 to 31. You'll find it in your church Bible on page 1020. It begins at the point just after the disciples have shared their last supper with Jesus. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Alexander. Let's pray. Father God, help us to understand, we pray. And then, Lord, understanding to give you praise with every single part of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll just put this on. And anybody who knows a bit of history, you might see the significance of this in just a moment. The First World War. In the First World War, some of you will know, I'm sure, that 266 British and Commonwealth soldiers were executed by firing squad for desertion, running away. And 80 more were shot for something called cowardice in the face of the enemy, not following their orders, running away, shot to death at dawn. Bang! There's much that could be said about this. By the way, this is what they used to put on the people that they were going to execute to show where the heart was, the place to aim at. There's much that could be said about those things that happened. In fact, in 2006, the British government pardoned all of the men concerned. And in fact, many of those executed soldiers seem to have been suffering from what at the time was called shell shock, which would now more likely be diagnosed as something like post-traumatic stress disorder. Perfectly understandable, of course, when you look at the conditions that those men had to live in and fight in. But going back to that time and to the needs of that time, what does seem morally indefensible today, this just seems wrong, at the time seemed to most people both necessary and fair. One old soldier said, "Every man had come out to fight, we knew that, and so we took punishment as a fact of life." Because one of the simple facts of soldiering and of war is that you stand or you fall together. No room in a battle for the people on your own side on whom you cannot rely. An army stands or falls by its cohesion. You have to have that discipline. Well, Jesus, of course, is not fighting a war, at least not an earthly war, though he does always stand on the side of justice against aggression, of love against hatred. He will one day be completely victorious. That's Jesus. But what can we say about Peter? What can we say about Peter? We come across Peter in that reading that Alexander read for us. Peter says in verse 29, he says, "Even if all fall away, I will not," Peter says. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you," Peter says in verse 31. And all of the others said the same. But we know, though Peter doesn't at this stage, we know that Peter will, in fact, soon betray Jesus. And so will the other disciples. And when it comes to the test, they will all soon look like cowards. They will desert Jesus in what looks like the hour of his greatest need. And Jesus knows this already. "You will all fall away," he tells them in verse 27. However much they deny that it's so, they will all desert. Because when Jesus goes to the stake, or rather to the cross, for the sins of the world, the innocent in place of the guilty, that's us, he'll do it almost friendless, deserted, alone. Only a few of the women will be there to observe. All of the men will have gone into hiding. That's how Jesus will die. Why will Peter, and why will these others, why will they betray Jesus? Well, in the case of those First World War deserters, there was probably a whole range of reasons why they deserted, ran away from their comrades, their fellow soldiers. Reasons which, no doubt, from our own perspective, have strengths very much of their own. Perhaps they were sick, maybe mentally. Distress. Maybe it was the far call of home. Well, none of these things apply to Peter and the disciples. Peter's already told Jesus back in chapter 10 that he, the disciples, they've given up everything to follow Jesus. This is not the far call of home. No, it seems they are all just cowards. But ultimately, the problem is this. You see, there's a hole. There's a great big hole. Not a foxhole outside like the holes that men 100 years ago would have been hiding in as the guns started to fall silent. Not a hole outside, but there's a big hole within. You see, there's a great big hole at Peter's understanding, the heart of Peter's understanding of who Jesus is, a Jesus-shaped hole at the heart of his being. But actually what's missing is right here, at the heart of our reading. Jesus says in verse 28, "After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." That's the hole at the heart of their understanding. That's what they just don't understand. Jesus on the third day will rise from the dead and he'll live. The key gospel fact changing everything, resurrection. And with it, the promise that we too shall rise. The disciples will get this, but they don't get it yet, not yet. But the hole, it's the hole in their hearts that's waiting to be filled. It's the bullet at the heart of their humanity, right in the heart of our reading today. A big hole right at the heart. That's what's missing. That's what's missing. That's the hole at the heart of their understanding. They don't get that Jesus will rise. Bang. And until they do get that, on that first Easter Sunday and the following days, as they realise what has just happened, until they do get that fact of resurrection, Peter and the others will have nothing to hold on to. They'll have no bigger picture to make sense of the world. They'll remain as they are, all dazed and confused and disorientated, traumatised, shocked and quite lost. And don't we all know people like that? And so Peter deserts his friend. Cowardice in the face of the enemy, but it's Jesus. He's the one who gets executed. It's Jesus who looks his enemies in the eye. Jesus who takes that bullet for us. While Peter deserts him, denies him, and then goes into hiding. And so do all the others. Bang. So what might we expect Jesus to do when he comes back, when he rises from the dead, as he will on that first Easter Sunday? Surely the price of desertion is death. Isn't that the punishment for cowardice in the face of the enemy? And certainly even in the eyes of today's world, where we're usually much too civilised to legally kill people, we do not do that anymore, except perhaps the very old and the very young, but that's a whole other story, we won't go there now. We certainly wouldn't expect Jesus to forgive Peter, let alone trust him or form a relationship with him again, let alone relying on him to carry the work forwards. Why on earth would he do such a thing? But this is precisely what Jesus does. Read on into Luke and then John and then Acts. After the resurrection, when Peter finally does get it, Jesus forgives him, and then he still calls him to serve, still to be part of God's army. The key missing fact, that hole in the heart of Peter's understanding, that missing verse that he just doesn't get. He still doesn't understand about resurrection. He still doesn't get that Jesus will die and then rise from the dead, and that it had to be like this for the sins of the world. But he will get it when Jesus rises and Peter sees for himself. Blessed are those who do not see with their eyes, but who yet do believe, who trust these eyewitness accounts here in the Bible, right here in this word, who stand shoulder to shoulder with Jesus and God's people, the church. Blessed are those who believe. So what is it, friends, that may be holding you back? Let it go. Gather round Jesus and fight the good fight, be his follower, be his friend, not a traitor. Be his follower, be his friend, not a traitor. We'll come to this in a moment. I will be putting that on in just a moment's time. It's the journey, my friends, from remembrance to hope. We shall talk about that more at our service this evening as the beacon is lit. What hope have you got? And in whom do you find it? The only hope is in Jesus himself. Jesus who died and who rose from the dead. Jesus in whom is the promise of life. It's the journey from remembrance to hope. And maybe today's the day when you can start hoping. That would make it a Remembrance Sunday to remember. Trust Jesus, and the future is yours. It's there for the taking. Jesus, whose love shoots straight to the heart. Jesus, who took the bullet, who suffered the punishment for our sins. Jesus, who took the bullet so that we don't have to. Jesus, who gives us hope for the future. Let us pray. Father God, help us to understand, we pray, and then, Lord, understanding to give you praise with every single part of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.